Hello and welcome to How the World Begins Again. I'm Elizabeth Hilliard and in this series I'm introducing you to women composers and sound artists working in Ireland. We're at our fifth episode and in this one, called Classwork, I'm with two artists, Bernadette Comack and Gráinne Mulvey, exploring how their background has shaped their musical life and their work. I've also gone back to Jennifer Walsh, Anne Clear, Claire Fitch and Natalia Bayliss from earlier episodes to touch on this theme of class and access to a pathway in music.
Something that we often don't talk about with relation to music is class, because class is a massive issue, you know, and in Ireland, certainly when I was growing up, very few schools offered music for Leaving Certificate. That was rare that a school offered music at Leaving Certificate level. So in order to study music, you had to come from a family that either in terms of cultural capital had the know-how to sort of send you to the Royal Irish Academy or somewhere else to get those extracurricular lessons so that you could do music at Leaving Cert level. And if your family had the cultural capital, they also had to have the financial capital to be able to afford to give you that education as well. And I think that we can't just talk about gender or ethnicity or sexuality. We also need to talk about class when we talk about access to music.
That's Jennifer Walsh, Irish composer and performer. I was delighted that she put a focus on this, on class, even though it wasn't one of the topics I had suggested we'd chat about. Like Jennifer, I feel that class, your socioeconomic background, is a big issue, defining who gets to create or compose. Access to music education is crucial, and we need to talk about respecting all genres of music.
I was more or less given a fiddle when I was about 7 or 8, but you know, I can play folk music as well. I was always aware of this incredible snobbery, you know, the classical music canon and, you know, traditional music. Totally unfair, you know, just there's absolutely no rationale for it. I think if you work within music at certain levels, then you can see, you know, it all comes from the same source. But I think, you know, stratification in society, class in society, and, you know, informs that particular attitude.
That's Bernadette Comack, an electroacoustic composer based in Belfast. I first met Bernadette in 2012 when she brought her hologram installation, The Virtual Performer, to perform at Bale Festival, a show curated by myself and David Bremner at Smock Alley Theatre in Dublin. I was keen to hear how she's doing now and how she manages her work-life balance.
I have been out of Queen's for quite some time now. Obviously, I've been preoccupied with working and bringing up a family, but I've continued to create music. I've been receiving quite a lot of arts awards, and now I feel I'm in a very comfortable position in terms of I have a room here where I can work, where I'm not distracted by anything, and that's just the ideal setup.
And did you, when you were in college in Queen's, did you bring your traditional background? Was there anything about the fiddle in that course?
Absolutely not. There was no study of folk music at all. The schools I would have gone into, you know, some of them had attitudes of the time as well, you know. You differentiate between the two. And classical music was up there and everything else was elsewhere. But I mean, that has really changed big time. There's no doubt about it, and it's all to the good.
So do you see the people that are coming through now creating sound? It's from a wider range of society?
Definitely. When I was at Queen's, I was aware that music at undergrad level for a long period of time was, you know, studying the canon. But with the development of the studio, I noticed there was broader groups of students coming into study music then, so it opened up a lot more possibilities for people that had totally different ideas about what music was. So in that sense, that's what it's done.
Mm-hmm. Composers Claire Fitch and Anne Clear both come from outside of a city and yet had quite different experiences of music at school. First Claire, who grew up in England, and then Anne, who comes from just outside Shinrone in County Offaly.
I grew up in a small village in Warwickshire, and actually songwriter Nick Drake was born there, and he's buried just behind my grandparents, which is it's a wonderful thing every time I go back. I sang in the church choir and the school choirs, and I learned piano. And I grew up doing all of those elements. I was composing. The piano that we had in the house was a player piano, pianola. And my composition used to be punching the holes into the thing, you know, into the rolls, piano rolls. I used to do it very surreptitiously. I went to a secondary modern school, and I was really lucky to receive free music lessons. There was a peripatetic system in Warwickshire. So Judith Jones was a cello teacher and a violin teacher who used to come round and give us all lessons. So it was absolutely fabulous to get that grounding.
There's a little bit of tin whistle, but other than that, there were no music classes in either of the primary or secondary school I went to, which is such a pity because I had great friends growing up, but so few of them had any interest in music. And it wasn't because they wouldn't have had an interest in it. It was just they didn't have access to it. Maybe their parents didn't see the same value in it either, because they also just didn't know about it. And I love experiencing art of any kind. You know, it's just, it feels so good for my mind. It's almost a way for me to think about the world and be in the world. And I guess I wish other people could feel that way about it, that, you know, they had access to it in a way that they felt comfortable in it and they felt that it was something they were in dialogue with and existing with, and not something that they had to learn all kinds of things about before they could have any opinion on it, but that it was, I suppose, a kind of integral part of their life and how they see the world.
Gráinne Mulvey is a composer and close collaborator of mine. She is the composer of Phonology Garden, which I've used a brief excerpt of to make the theme music for this series. I was curious to find out what she thinks about the social changes that have happened in Ireland during her lifetime and the opportunities that have opened up.
I always made up songs with my guitar when I was a kid and everything, did all those kinds of crazy things. I was always messing with the voice then as well, singing and trying out different things, but never really understanding exactly what the implications would have been or how they would have been significant for creating music later on. So to have somebody who recognizes that you have a talent in this area and that it should be honed or it should be focused, that was most significant, because other than that, I would never have become a composer. I always thought it was the privilege of white dead males. It wasn't something you were going to choose as a career. I had teaching and other things as part of my remit. I didn't think that a career in this area, as just purely creative basis, would have been an option at all.
Like, did you even know that people in Ireland were composers?
I didn't know of any composers at that stage. It wasn't in my ability to actually know at the time about composers. Growing up, I was growing up in quite a rural place and it was very isolated. We didn't have visits from composers. We had no kind of outreach programs laid on for us in school at all. It was quite a formal education in theory in school. And I think that was a lot of the case in Ireland at that point, because you had set works, but all the composers' works that even were contemporary were from dead male composers. So it wasn't something that you came in contact with at all. Like when you consider the amount of technology that was available then, or the amount of communication, when I think of it, I'm still marvelling over the fact that we've transitioned from paper and pen right to technology and digital age. We're never privileged with these different technologies at all. So everything was very slow. Pen and paper, you know, that was it.
I'd love to talk to you about your background growing up as well. I know you said your father was hugely encouraging.
He could sing and tonic soul for anything, really, and he loved music. He was just an avid listener and a concert goer, because when he was living in Dublin, he would just go to the opera or he'd go to a concert. He filled the house with records, so we were always listening to some sort of music of some sort in the house. There was never a day that went, I think, in my memory, where there wasn't music played in the house. But he'd no formal training, except he just loved music. He had an amazing ear to hear the inner parts of works as well. He'd go back and he'd sing different lines of pieces. I remember him singing the themes of The Growth of Food, the voices, and singing it back. And so because of that memory, even though some of it is maybe slightly different or there's slight variations of it, I have that in my head now in how he thinks about innards. So even when it goes to analysis and things like that, you can kind of think, oh, these are important parts, because you kind of sing the innards of something. I used to think that was quite weird. And he should have done music, actually. I think he'd been really, you know, great if he had done music, but he just didn't take it up. Too many people to look after and his own family when he was growing up. And then certainly in ours, then he had too many commitments to make sure that everybody was okay. You just didn't go into that as career. That was a hobby. Music was a hobby. And that's really sad, because a lot of talented people, I think, slipped through the net because of that. And had we had the foresight to see how we would have developed as a nation, we might have been more insistent on concentrating on these aspects that, of our cultural pathway and development as far as enriching our society, etc. And today, it's like a normal thing. If somebody wants to be an actor, they'll try and, if they can, get through the channels that they need to actually navigate. And similarly with music, I think there's so many opportunities now for people to go in part-time and everything. And even if they don't do a degree, there's other areas that they can concentrate on, even that lead to a degree, or if they don't want to. There's a whole plethora of different forums now that they can explore, but was never the privilege of certainly people from the 40s and 50s in Ireland, because it was quite a bleak time anyway. We're coming out of an awful lot of problems with the founding of the state and the church and the whole thing.
And you were born late 60s, so you had maybe the beginning of the new experience of Ireland. Would that be right to say?
Yeah.
Was it experiencing both?
I was kind of experiencing both, I say. I think I was really, I probably was experiencing both, because I didn't have any formal education in music until I was 13, 14. When I went to school, I started to have some piano lessons. But I mean, that wasn't the privilege to have piano lessons before then, because there was 5 other siblings, so the money wasn't there, you know, it just wasn't there for us to indulge in kind of any lessons, formal training or anything like that. Wasn't going to happen. The house had a reel-to-reel telefunken in it for a start. That was very bizarre, right? So that was something like of the 50s. So then we had a record player, which was slightly more into the 70s. A radiogram was there at one point, and television came in. Television was like, wow, that was a big deal. You know, something on screen that was really strange. Black and white, really strange.
Thank you. areas in which I operate, people come from all different backgrounds. There's a lot of people who are, you know, might be doing their PhDs or might have doctorates. There's people who had no access to music education or classical music education and who just do, who are completely self-taught and might not have grown up with the financial or cultural access to those kinds of systems. So I feel creatively it is quite varied and quite nourishing to be within that kind of global community of people coming from absolutely all different kinds of backgrounds.
Sound artist Natalia Bayliss, originally from Ukraine, who's been living in Ireland for 20 years, closing our episode today. In this episode, we heard Gronja Mulvey's Akanos, performed by the Lithuanian National Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Robertas Šervenikas, released on Navona Records. Before that, we heard extracts from Bernadette Komak's Sound the Box, designed as an immersive experience for the listener. Thank you for listening to episode 5 of How the World Begins Again. In the next one, Rebuilding, I'm with 3 more artists, Ailey Schneerian, Finola Merivale, and Abigail Smith, talking about their work to create a more equitable society and how their artistic work has been shaped by this.